right. Proverbs chapter 15, if you will. Proverbs chapter 15. You can probably just open your book, open the Bible as a preacher, and stick your finger down anywhere in Proverbs and have a place to preach. It's not like, you know, accidentally landing in Chronicles and have to say so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it's kind of tough to preach from there, but it can be done. But anyway, Proverbs not that way. And I just want you to look at one verse, verse 3. Familiar verse, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, unless you believe in an omnipotent, omnipresent God, this verse would be absolutely unbelievable. Only the God of the Bible could do such a thing. I mean, only the God of the Bible, Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, and all the rest cannot do it. And they don't claim they can do it, which at least is a good thing, all right? They don't claim to do that. But, you know, you read that verse, and what a sobering thought it is to think that God sees us and sees what we do, all right? Sees what we do. But on the other hand, have you ever considered the alternative? What if God couldn't see it all? What if he couldn't see it all? Now, the wicked might say that'd be okay. But how terrible it is to imagine that the universe could be turned over to the governing of a blind power.
Amen.
Man, what a mess, all right? What a mess. But the Bible is true. Well, our God is an omnipotent, omnipresent God, and he does see everything. He sees everything. He's not a sleeping deity. He's never absent in his vigilant. He never slumbers. He never sleeps, day or night. Doesn't matter. There's never a moment when he ceases to observe the world and everything in it. But sometimes the problem is we read this verse, and that verse says, beholding the evil and the good. And oftentimes we just concentrate on the evil. Beholding the evil. Now listen, he does see our sin. He does see our sin. Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, here's the testimony of Hagar. Hagar, the handmaid of Sarah, and she made this statement in Genesis 16:13. The Bible says, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Thou God seest me. Hey, that's a universal truth. God does see you. You say, well, he's not my God. It's okay, he still sees you. He still sees you. That verse doesn't just apply to Hagar. You and I, we cannot hide from God. It is impossible to do that, and now sometimes folks live as if they can. I heard a preacher relate a story to me one time that he was visiting, and he knocked on this door, and the door was open, the screen door was shut, and he could see the family in there, and they were under the dining room table. And somebody finally came to the door, and so naturally, curiosity overwhelmed you, so you ask, you know, man, what are you doing? And kind of sheepishly, they looked at each other and they said, well, we had told God we wouldn't do something, you know, we wouldn't eat this, but we're eating it so we got under the table so he couldn't see us. How silly.
Amen.
Now, we laugh at that, but folks live as if they can hide from God, and they act like God doesn't see them. But he does. He sees us, all right? He sees our sin. He sees man. He sees the sin of man. Doesn't matter what it is. If you said, well, it's just a little thing. Well, he sees those little sins. Some people don't. The only sin they worry about is what they consider to be big sins. But the truth of the matter is sin. Now, different sins will affect us differently, and some will affect us more in the body than other ones will, But every sin is sin, and we need to have that realization that, hey, we can't hide our sin from God. We can't hide it under cover of darkness. It is amazing, but most of the meanness and the wickedness of this world goes on at night. And that is because people have the idea, well, I will hide my deeds in the dark. Well, you can't do that from God. You can't hide that from God. Hey, by the way, you can't get lost in the crowd. You can't get lost in the crowd and say, well, I'm in this big crowd. Who's going to know that I did it? God does. God does. He sees us. He sees our sin, all right? And by the way, no person is so insignificant that God pays no attention to that individual. You say, well, I'm nobody. It doesn't matter. You may be a nobody in this world, but you're somebody to God. You're somebody to Him. This is not a feel-good message trying to make you feel good about being a somebody, but the truth of the matter is, with God, you are somebody. He sees you. The world may ignore you and most of the people in the world, but God doesn't. He sees you. And if you're sin and you sin, He will see that sin. That which man would most like to hide from God is open before His eyes. Amen. It's open before Him. You think about it. He saw the sin of David. He saw the sin of David. He said, well, man, sure. I mean, look, yeah, but he saw that sin. Look what he did. He said, well, he was on the housetop and he saw Bathsheba, all right? And he saw what happened. And then he further made it bad by taking her husband and having him killed. That was out in broad daylight in the middle of the battle. Of course God saw it.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Go to the New Testament. He saw the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. That sin was really a sin committed with the mouth, if you will. It was hidden from the people. Nobody else knew that when they said, we're giving it all, only God said, no, you aren't. No, you aren't. I see that. Hey, he saw the sin of Achan.
Yes, sir.
Achan was there when Jericho was taken and God had commanded that everything in there either be destroyed or belongs to me. You don't take any of it. And if you're familiar with the story, Achan went in and his testimony was, well, I saw that gold and that, or that wedge of maybe I think of silver. Said, I saw that wedge, and he said, I saw that goodly Babylonian garment, and he said, man, I took it, and I got it buried in my tent. Nobody's going to see it. But God did. God saw it. He hid it from everybody else. Nobody else knew what was going on, but God saw it. God sees our sin, all right? Hey, by the way, God sees our sin. You can't escape the judgment of God. They didn't. They didn't. You can't either. David was judged for his sin. Achan was judged for his sin. Ananias and Sapphira were judged for their sin. You can't hide it, folks. That's why the Bible tells us over and over, hey, confess it.
Amen.
And forsake it.
Amen.
Confess it and forsake it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to hide it. I remember years ago watching a Tarzan movie. I used to on television when I was a kid growing up in Georgia. We were lucky if we could get one channel, but the one channel we could luckily get in black and white that started every Saturday morning with Gene Autry, then an hour of him, an hour of Roy Rogers, and then an old Tarzan movie. Now, I never forget watching the old Tarzan movie. Jane was gone, Tarzan was cleaning up, or I think maybe Boy was cleaning up. And he lifted up, he's sweeping the leaves in their tree house, and he lifts up a mat and sweeps leaves under it, okay? I'll just hide it. Well, hey, you and I think, well, I'll just hide my sin. You can't. You can't. God sees it. God sees it. He sees those big things. He sees the little things. He sees everything, all right? He sees our sin. I want to say this to you. Not only does he see our sin, he sees our stumbling. He sees our stumbling. And I, for one, am so glad that he does. So glad that he does. You think with me. Remember that night Peter's out strolling on the water on the Sea of Galilee. But he stumbled. All right. You said, well, he didn't stumble. Well, he did stumble in a way, and he began to sink. I believe Peter was glad God saw him. I believe old Peter was glad he sees me. And when he cried out, he was standing there and right there to lift him up because he saw him. He said, well, I'm not planning to walk on the water. That's probably a good thing, all right? But I will say this to you. There's going to be some times in this old world, in this old life, all right, that we're going to stumble. We're going to stumble. You consider this with me. To be out of God's sight is to be out of his care. Well, I'm glad I'm not out of his care. I want to be right there. I want him to be able to see me. I want him to see that. Yep, he's going to see my sin. You say, well, I wish he didn't see it. Well, he does see it, but right along with that, he sees us when we stumble, okay? Man, I don't want any part of being left out and left out of his care. I want him to be close by. I'm thankful that God does see our stumbling, and he's there. He's ready to lift us up. He's ready to dust us off. He's ready to set us our feet again. David said, man, you know, he lift me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock. Sometimes we stumble and wind up in the ditch. Well, he's able to lift us up and set us back on the path we need to be on, okay? I'm glad he sees that. He does see our stumbling. What a blessed it is to know that he sees our stumbling. He sees our sin. He sees our stumbling. Now, there's the negative, if you would. Beholding the evil. The evil. I don't like to think about him seeing my sin. But I hate that I do stumble. But I'm glad when he sees it. And he's willing to pick me up. But could we go to the other side of that all-seeing eye of God? It says, beholding the evil and the good. Evil and the good. Not only does he see our sin and see our stumbling, but he sees our salvation. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, God saw our salvation before the foundation of the world. Remember, in Revelation 13, verse 8, the Bible said that lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, before Adam sinned, God had in place a plan for the salvation of man. But before he saw the need, before there was a need, and he saw the remedy before the fall. He was ahead. He had it planned. He knew about it. He knew what was going to take place. Oftentimes, I think we read the Bible and we think, well, that must have surprised God. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. He knew what was going to take place, all right? He knew what was going to happen. He knew that. And he saw before that, he saw our salvation. Man, praise the Lord, when he sees us who have been born again, what he sees is a result of our salvation. Amen. He doesn't see us as sinners. Amen. He sees us as sons. Man, what a blessing. He does not see us, all right, as sinners, but his son. He sees the imputed righteousness of his son. You ever think about that? He said, Bridget, you just said he sees our sin. He does. But when he looks at us, he sees us as his children. His children. He doesn't see us as that wayward one. He sees us as his children. Not as that lost soul. Not as that ungodly wretch. He doesn't see us anymore that way. And instead, he sees us as his children. Now, sometimes what he sees is disobedient children. But I'm glad he sees me as a disobedient child rather than a depraved soul, aren't you? He looks at it and he says, sees that one, that's mine, he belongs to me. There have been times, you know, when my kids did wrong and I saw them, I didn't think, well, I sure am glad that's my child. Sometimes a little ashamed of them. A little ashamed maybe of what they'd done, you know. But I never thought, I'm done with them. Write them off. You ain't going home with me, buddy. You just broke the law and you're done. You're no longer my child. No, I'm glad God sees us. He just sees us as disobedient children. Why? Because we've been born again. You've been born again. Do you really want to think about, well, I wish God didn't see me? Oh, no. No, I want him to see me. I want him to see me. I want him to see me as his child. I want him to look down and see me as that one that he paid for and that one who is a blood-bought child of God. Oh, what a blessing that is, that he sees us that way. Yes, he beholds the evil. He does see that. But he sees the good, too. He sees the good. We dwell on the evil sometimes. We're pretty negative people. Most folks are negative. Even the crowd that says they're positive are pretty negative, you know. Sometimes I'm positive about the negatives, you know. But, hey, well, the truth is there is a positive to that all-seeing eye of God. He sees us as sin. He sees our sin, but he sees us as his child. He sees our salvation. And it's one of those deals where he says, that one belongs to me. That one belongs to me, and they're disobedient, and I'll have to deal with them. I've seen them stumble, and I'll have to deal with them. But wait a minute. Every dealing is not major. Every correction is not brutal. Okay? I've mentioned to you, told you, I my parents, they were strict. Those of you that didn't know my dad, mom, my dad was a strict man. But I didn't get everything I deserved. I didn't get every whipping I deserved. I didn't do that. And it's not just because he didn't find out, all right? It's amazing, he usually did find out. All right, he usually did find out. And I'm so glad our God deals with us as his child. Hey, do we have to be chastened sometimes? Sometimes. But man, what a blessing. I'd rather be chastened as a child. Yes, wouldn't you? I'd rather be chastened as his child than judged as a lost man. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh man, let me have that chastening. Amen. Let me experience that chastening. He sees our sin. He sees our stumbling. He sees our salvation. But that's not all he sees. He also sees our service. He sees our service. Take your Bible to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you will. A familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard it read. You've read it. Mark chapter 9. I want you to look down, if you will, in verse 41. All right? Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Shall not use his reward. Now the Lord's talking to his disciples there. He's talking to them. John, he said, look, man, we saw one who's casting out devils in thy name, and he doesn't follow us. And so we told him, you knock it off because you don't follow with us. And the Lord said, don't do that. Okay? For he that's not against us is on our part. But then he said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Isn't that pretty insignificant? Pretty insignificant. We look at that and we think, just give a cup of water? Well, wait a minute. It's insignificant unless you're the thirsty man. When you're the thirsty man, it's not insignificant. You ever been out and thirsty? I remember times as a kid I thought I was dying of thirst. Now I wasn't. I wasn't, but I thought I was. There was one year we had moved to Texas. We moved to Texas in August and we got a very warm welcome. And it was just a couple or 3 years after that, my dad decided, well, we're going to re-roof this house. It was a gravel roof. We're going to change it from a gravel roof to a shingled roof. And we did it in the summer. In the summer. I'll never forget. It wasn't a cool summer. It wasn't an easy summer. I remember that one day we were out there. It was 100. That later on I found out it was 113 degrees. Now, on the roof, it's 212, all right? I'm pretty sure it was. And we came down and ate lunch, and, you know, inside the air-conditioned house, and I'm thinking, praise God, we're done for the day. And then Dad says, boys, let's go get back on the roof. Dad, have you lost your mind? And I didn't say that. But I thought it just for a little bit. Dad, it'll wait. It's not going to rain. It's 113. It's safe. It's not going to rain. We'll finish it tomorrow. No, we're going up now. And we got up there, and I'm going to tell you, it's instant thirst when you do that. I thought I was dying of thirst, but I wasn't. But I'll tell you this, if somebody had showed up with a cool cup of water, it would have been significant to me. And the Bible says this, if we'll do it in His name, it says you'll not lose your reward. Listen, if something so seemingly insignificant as a cup of water doesn't escape His attention, then you can be assured He sees what you do for Him. He sees what you do for Him. Now, by the way, nobody else may. Nobody else may see it. Nobody else may even come by and say, hey, I saw what you did, and I just want to tell you, boy, it's good. I appreciate it. You did a fine job. They may not do it. Nobody may say anything. You may even stand and sing a special, and nobody say a word, and you think, well, how bad was it? Nobody said anything good, but at least they didn't, you know, say it was terrible. But so you wonder, you say, does anybody care? I'm going to tell you, God does. God knows what you do for Him in service. God knows that. You've been in the bus ministry. Oftentimes in the bus ministry, you get out and you work and you labor, and it is unseen labor. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows how long you stay out. Nobody knows how many doors you knock. Nobody knows how many times somebody says no, and nobody knows how many times maybe even somebody says no and get off my porch. But God sees it. God sees it. God knows what you're doing, all right? God knows it. And my Bible says keeping a record. He's keeping a record. Hey, it's not insignificant. He sees what you do. He sees that time you spend. He sees the work you put in, putting in that Sunday school lesson and working on that, trying to get it just right. And you labor to do that. The Lord sees that. The Lord sees that. You say, well, I'm just teaching a bunch of kids. That's all right. The Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. And by the way, you never know how much it influences that bunch of kids either. Some of those that are acting up and carrying on, you'd be amazed at how much comes in here. They hear it and they take it home. But you mark it down. If none of them hear it, none of them get it, God sees what you've done. All right? God sees what you've done. All right? He sees what you do for Him. He's there. By the way, that means He sees your sacrifice. He sees your sacrifice. Man may not know and just might not care, but God takes note when you give of yourself to Him. God takes note. I just want to remind you that. There's nothing in the message tonight that's profound. It's a very simple message. I just want to remind you, God takes note of what you do for Him. He sees it, and he's recording it. His seeing eye ensures this, that one day His rewarding hand will be extended in your direction. Amen. You said, well, how do I know that? Well, since you asked. Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, would you? Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. If you would, look down in verse 10. Verse 10. Now notice, this is the word of God, okay? Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Right. Now what's He bringing a reward for? Mm-hmm. Well, because there's some people going to get a reward. Right. All right, they're going to get a reward for their labor. He said, well, I'm not convinced. All right, let's go to Isaiah 62, okay? Isaiah chapter 62, if you would. Just turn over there and we'll see one verse in this chapter that applies That's part of the truth here of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
Amen.
That's twice the Bible said his reward is with. He's coming. He's coming, and his reward is with him.
Amen.
Now, you're the ultimate pessimist. Preacher, that's the Old Testament. All right, well, let's go to Revelation 22, all right? Revelation 22, if you will. That's the last chapter in your Bible, okay? One of the last things God wants to make sure you know, all right? Revelation chapter 22, if you will, look in verse 12. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, this is the testimony of the Lord himself. And behold, I come quickly, and my, guess what, reward is with me, to give every man
Amen.
According as his work shall be.
Amen.
Hey, he's got a reward. What's it for? To give to every man according as his work shall be. You want a lot of reward? Do a lot of work.
Amen.
I'm not a brilliant person, but I can figure that out. All right? When it's according to your work, according to your labor, do a lot of work, get a lot of reward. Do a little bit, get a little reward. Do nothing, get nothing. All right? Now, you can figure that out, right?
Amen.
Hey, his reward is with him. Why? Because he sees what you do. He sees what you do. He takes note of it. That eye that's going around the world, it's beholding the evil. Yes, it is. But it's also beholding the good.
Right.
It sees what we do. He sees what we do. And let me say this before I finish tonight. He sees all that you do for him, and he sees what you do for self and claim to do for him. And he knows the difference. He knows the difference. You see, God examines the motivation. God examines the motivation. There's some folks in this old world, they do some things, but they do it to be seen of men. I just want you to see me. Lord said, okay, you've got your reward. They saw you. They saw you. You ought to be happy. That's why you really did it. But he said, it's what you do for me. It's what you do for me. If there's nobody watching, nobody sees, it's all right. I see. I see. And I'll reward you. Because when I come, I'm bringing my reward. Now, I just ask you very simply tonight, what does God see when he sees you? What does God see when he sees you? Does he see your salvation? Does he see your salvation? Worst thing in the world is people come sit in an independent Baptist church many times and walk out lost. Boy, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. I'd not want anybody to do that. When he sees you, does he see your salvation? I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but I do want you to be sure of your salvation. When he sees you, does he see your salvation? Hey, when he looks at you, is he looking at one that stumbled and messed up, but you didn't come to him and confess it? You thought, well, I'll just take care of it myself. Does he see your unconfessed sin? Is there any service there for him to see? Or is what you do just to be seen of men? What a sad thing. Hey, what does he see when he sees you? What does he see? Does he see a faithful servant? Does he see a faithful servant? Does he see one who is like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I, send me? They see one that says, Lord, anything you want me to do, just let me know. I'll do it. I'm available. I'm available. Or does it see somebody who says, I don't have time right now?
Right.
I mentioned to you this morning, folks, that I visited this week, and some of them, hey, people got a testimony being saved, but it's like they say to God, don't have time for you.
Right.
I don't have time for you. Oh, isn't that a shame?
Amen.
What a shame. What does he see when he sees you? Would you stand, please, tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed? There's no doubt the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. What does he see in you? What does he see in you tonight? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us take just a moment and examine our own heart and our own life. And Lord, to be honest about it, to just take a look. Are we really the faithful servant? Do we serve you with a pure heart and a pure motive? Or is what we do to be seen of men? Lord, would you help us not think about somebody else, but just ourselves? Just me, Lord. It's me that you're dealing with. Lord, would you deal with our lives, deal with our hearts tonight? Lord, help us to see ourselves as you see us. And Lord, if there's some business we need to do with you, if there's some confessing, if there's some apologies needed, if there's some things that need to be made right, would you help us tonight to use this time to do it? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing tonight the invitation hymn. Listen, if God's speaking to you, would you come? Would you just come? Just take a moment and just come and do business with God. Don't worry about anybody else or anything else. You do what God leads you to do. How does God see you, okay? How does God see you tonight? Would you come while we sing this?
And wait.